That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My.
This episode of Mike Crispy Unafraid, breaking President Trump's VP pick could be made as early as tomorrow. That's what they're saying. We're going to break down the latest of what we're hearing out of the Trump camp and break down some of the top picks, who they are, do the as-promised investigation into them. Additionally, election night last night in several key races. We're going to talk about what happened. South Carolina, New York, Colorado, Utah, so much going on. And are illegals going to vote in the election? We have some updated reporting on that. I want to welcome everybody into this very special Wednesday edition of the show today. It is June 26th, and I need you to help get this party started. And you know how you do that? By rumbling this video. That is the thumbs up on the browser. That is the thumbs up on the mobile app. You click it, you hit it, you tap it, you share this, and you get us to the top of these Rumble leaderboards. You know why? Because it is the only place that we belong. So, we got a big program for you today. I'm ready. Producer Frankie's ready. You better be too. And let's go. Everybody, Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. It is Wednesday, it is June 26th, and I am joined by the one and only. He is the most base producer in the game, and he's happy today because as the theory of Trump picking his vice president draws near, his sworn mortal enemy in politics seems to not be on the short list. I'm just saying, and so when that pick is made, and it's not his mortal enemy, we're going to get to that in a minute for all you new viewers, then Frankie will be a happier man. Frankie seems to be in a good mood today. Frankie, don't give it away. How you doing?
You know, it's funny, Mike, because you always have these inside scoops, right? And to the audience, Crispy will say, oh, I got this inside scoop. And I'll say, what's the scoop? He'll say, just wait for the episode when we're live. And he doesn't give me the scoop until you guys get the scoop. So it's a little annoying, but I'll accept it.
Oh. They call me the scooper. I'm scooping, okay? I'm serving up ice cream scoops, okay? We got scoops. We got the scoop, okay?
Lola.
And the latest scoop. Lola's not here, right?
No,
Lola's
not Pooper here. Scoop, just kidding.
Okay, all right. Getting the show on track here. The latest scoop is that President Trump could be having his vice presidential pick made as early as this week. Frankie, we have this report here that gripped the media. Breaking news that Trump's VP pick could be made in the next 24 hours, or he's going to wait until the RNC convention. There is conflicting reports, but basically we're hearing he might make it tomorrow. And if he doesn't make it tomorrow, well, then he'll do it at the RNC. But there's a very good chance that it could be made tomorrow. Here is the report, Frankie Roller.
Joining us now from Fort Pierce, Florida, is NBC News correspondent Dasha Burns. Dasha, what are you hearing?
So, Katie, this is all coming to us just moments ago. The former president, according to four sources familiar with the situation, could announce his vice presidential pick as soon as this week. Several sources telling us it could come before Thursday night's debate. Now, he had said publicly that he was going to announce closer to the convention, either at the convention or shortly before. But one source telling me that there was a shift in the conversation as early as last week to pivot and to do this sooner, to make a splash earlier. They're, of course, working with some date constraints here. They're looking at the sentencing on July 11th, the Republican National Convention right after, and, of course, the debate on Thursday. So they've been trying to work out, looking at these different options, looking at the pros and cons of when to announce. And it seems now that they are considering announcing this week, again, potentially before the debate. We're still working out on details about why exactly this decision was made, but we are now looking at a very...
So I got to tell you, I think it's quite interesting that they're saying this. Now, I'm kind of in the middle on this. Do I think that he should do it the day of the debate? Maybe. Do I think that he should wait until the convention? I probably would lean more towards him waiting till the convention. I think some type of grand reveal at the convention would get more fanfare. I mean, think about dominating the press cycle. The press cycle is going to be dominated by the way that Trump dominates Joe Biden on the debate stage tomorrow night. And by the way, we're going to have Roger Stone on tomorrow morning for an official debate preview show that we're going to be doing. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're not going to want to miss that. But I think he should wait. I do understand the position of announcing it tomorrow, because if you announce it tomorrow, well, then that's something that would be talked about at the debate. And then Biden would have to like scramble and try to like come up with talking points to attack that person. And the thing is that obviously Biden needs 2 weeks to prepare for anything. So if Trump drops the VP pick tomorrow during the day, well, then Biden doesn't have the wherewithal, because he doesn't have 2 weeks to practice, of like getting the lines down for who this candidate even will be. Does that make sense? Now, if he announces it at the convention, that would be a couple of days after the sentencing. Obviously, the sentencing is going to grip the first days of the convention, no matter what it is. If he's not, convicted to jail time, then it's going to be a big celebration. If he is on, let's say, a house arrest or even Rikers Island, let's say, if that's like the worst case scenario, well, then that's obviously going to be a mood setting event that will kind of grip the convention. And then if he announces that at the end of the convention, well, then like you've won the press cycle on the sentencing one way or another. He's either political prisoner Nelson Mandela of our time, or he's a free man Teflon Don. Then at the end of the convention, on like the 17th, 18th, if they announce that pick the night before he speaks, or like let's say the morning that he's supposed to speak on the last day of the convention, that's that Thursday, I believe that's July 18th. I think there's strategy for both ways. So I see why they're making the decision of should we announce it now or should we wait. I can see why both avenues have an appeal. Now, I reported the other day that the finalists were down to Burgum, Vance, and Rubio. And it's interesting that, a lot of people came at me and they said that I was totally wrong and it's totally fake news and all that. But you're starting to see that report kind of corroborated by multiple other news outlets, including conservative and liberal outlets alike. And again, I get my information from what I think is pretty good sources who are like in and around, you know, the Trump camp, and I'm hearing things about these candidates. And listen, if these are the final three, I just want to give you guys an objective analysis on who they are, and if any one of these people are picked, what the narrative will be from our opposition, okay? Now, first things first, I don't like these candidates equally. I like them in certain order. I think certain candidates here, you know, the reason that they're on the shortlist is they bring pros and cons to the table, quote unquote. But we're gonna do a little quick analysis of each one and what I think that they can be attacked on, okay? Like, let's put them through the ringer here on what I believe they can be attacked on. Does that make sense? So that is how I want to do this from that perspective. Oh, Mike, you're getting negative. You're doing... No, no, no. I'm just telling you what will be the opposition narrative if any one of these people are being picked. Mike, why are you being so negative? Why aren't you highlighting the positives? Listen, I'm dealing in the world of reality here on this show. I'm going to tell you what the Democrats will do and play. And listen, every single person who's ever run for office, they're big boys. They say what they say, and it's on the record. And then it can and will be used against them in the court of public opinion during the election. Like, if Mike Crispy was picked as the vice president for Trump, like, there'd be nothing to hang me on anti-Trump, because I've never said anything anti-Trump in my life, because I've always believed he was the guy since he came down the golden escalators. You can't say that for everybody. And then people do and say things that, you know, in the political sports, if you will, in the kind of jockeying of position and all that, you know, you kind of get a look into how they handle these situations. So let's start with J.D. Vance here. J.D. Vance probably has the most anti-Trump past. He famously wrote the article in the New York Times called Barack Obama and Me, in which he, I guess, lauded Barack Obama for being somewhat of an inspiration to him. Now, we all know that J.D. Vance wrote that book, okay, that book which kind of like outlined the plight of like working class white people. And it was a very good book, very, you know, I guess you could say telling anecdote of the future of his political, you know, mindset. But he wrote that book. It had the right ideals, but he thought Trump was a fake. He thought Trump was a phony. And I guess back in 2016, 2017, he was more of a Barack Hussein Obama guy than a Trump guy, which is pretty interesting. This is something that they will run against him. Roll this, Frankie.
J.D. Vance, in his own words.
I'm a never Trump guy. I never liked him. As somebody who doesn't like Trump, I might have to hold my nose and vote for Hillary Clinton. I didn't vote for Trump because I can't stomach Trump. I think that he's noxious, him being really outrageous and offensive.
On Twitter, Vance called Trump, quote, reprehensible, an idiot, and Vance loves Mitt Romney.
I'm a never Trump guy.
That's the real J.D. Vance.
Okay, so that is antidote of accurate quotes. I mean, there was a time where J.D. Vance was vehemently anti-Trump. People say that J.D. Vance in the 2016 election voted for Evan McMullen. He didn't even vote for Trump. He voted for the CIA spy who was put into the race. Remember Evan McMullen? So now, okay, that's like me again. I'm like putting these candidates through the ringer here. And if you're going to say that, you know, J.D. Vance was anti-Trump, you can then on the flip side say, for being objective here, that J.D. Vance has come to be one of the most America first members of the Senate. Okay. He became friends with Donald Trump Jr. He atoned for his anti-Trump rhetoric. He's been a effective communicator and messenger and defender of Trump ever since. But then I will say this, J.D. Vance is 39 years old. And how can J.D. Vance go into the vice presidential slot and not kind of have that mindset of, from day one, him trying to stake himself out to be the president? I mean, if you're going to be the vice president to Trump, you know, you got to be loyal to him for 4 years. You can't be overshadowing him. You can't be, quote unquote, running for president in that time. So the question is, could J.D. Vance do that? Clearly, he has aspirations. Could he be the second fiddle to Trump for all 4 years and not buck him in any way, shape, or form and do the role of a vice president and not somebody who is kind of eagerly looking to take over the keys to the party post-Trump? It's a very interesting thing. I think out of these three, just objectively speaking here, it'd be hardest for Vance to do that. Okay, I'm not saying that he couldn't, but I'm saying it'd be the hardest for him to do that. Okay, that's J.D. Vance in a nutshell. So we'll see what happens. Second thing here is Marco Rubio. Now, Marco Rubio is according to my reports, being pushed from within. And he has been being pushed from within. And I reported that to you about 2 months ago. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. They were saying, oh, Mike, Marco Rubio. We were saying, again, I'm not like taking credit like you know, I'm a genius, but I was saying Marco Rubio's name a while ago, and people were saying I was crazy, how could you, this and that. Marco Rubio legitimately has some steam. People are reporting that he would resign his seat in the Senate, that a new senator would be appointed. Rubio would move to, I think, Nevada. I think that's where he's from originally. Would move, or that's where he grew up or something. That he would move, and if he was the vice president, that's what would happen. Rubio, you know, obviously has some ties to some, you could call it more of the moderate wing of the party. People say he's good on foreign policy. Obviously, we don't like his amnesty stuff. But in reality, he is one of the finalists. And I think you can say, objectively, that he has moved his messaging. If anybody's moved their messaging, okay, of the candidates that were in the 2016 race, more towards Trump, like slowly but surely, it has to be Rubio out of those people. He's kind of taken on a more America First vein in his senator duties. Now, again, not a great pick. He's the least popular pick among the base. And this is what they would replay if he was picked as the guy. The sparring between him and Trump back in 2015. Roll it, Frankie.
But no, it's not a soundbite. It's a fact. Yeah, again, go online and Google it. Donald Trump, Polish workers. You'll see it. The second thing about the trade war, I don't understand, because your ties and the clothes you make is made in Mexico and in China. So you're going to be starting a trade war against your own ties and your own suits.
You know why? Because
why don't you make them in America?
Their currencies. No. They devalue their currencies.
Well, then make them in America.
That makes it well, you don't know anything about business. You lose
well,
on everything.
Well, make them in America.
You don't know anything
Russia.
About it because you're a lousy
Well, I don't know anything
man.
About bankrupting four companies. Right. Well, you bankrupted four companies.
You know what?
I don't know anything about
you know what?
Starting
that's
a university.
One
that was a fake university.
First of all, one
a
at
fake
time.
University.
That's called. Okay,
there are people that borrow $36,000 to go to Trump University, and they're suing him now. $36,000 to go to a university.
By the way,
that's a fake school.
And by the way,
and you know what they got? They got to take a picture with a cardboard cutout of Donald Trump.
And by the way,
that's what they got for the $36,000.
I want to move on.
They actually did a very good job, but I've won most of the lawsuit.
Senator, I want to bring in
the lawsuit.
I want to bring in my colleague Maria Celeste.
Excuse me, hey Wolf, let me ask you, am I allowed to respond to this?
You're allowed. You've been responding.
Okay, well, no, I haven't. I really haven't.
He's talked through the whole thing.
Here's the guy. That buys a house for $179,000. He sells it to a lobbyist who's probably here for $380,000, and then legislation is passed. You tell me about this guy.
Okay, so obviously, if Rubio is the pick, they would rerun that. And I do believe that, again, and I see it in the live chat, like I'm not oblivious to that, and I think that, you know, Trump is not oblivious to it either, that the base dislikes Rubio the most. So, with that being said, has he shifted some of his positions? Yes, I think he has, objectively. But, like, I'm looking in the chat right now, and the chat, and even, like, my, you know, my polling, like, the thing I did yesterday on X, they're coming strongest against Rubio. Rubio always gets the lowest in the poll. They come against Rubio. So, this is kind of the thing we're seeing with Marco Rubio. So, is he a finalist? Yes. Do I think that he's the pick? I mean, according to NBC, he was the least likely of the three. And now we move on to who I think is probably the most likely of the three right now. Again, I know nothing, but if I'm looking at the tea leaves and I'm just evaluating what I see, I think Burgum probably right now, as it stands, don't shoot the messenger, is probably the front runner. Now, if you're looking at Burgum for like what he is and who he did, this is what they attack him on, okay? This is what they attack him on. They put this out here. And again, I'm just bringing you the news in real time. I'm giving you what I call the most hardened vetting of these people here on the show today. North Dakota Governor Burgum vetoes anti-trans sports bill, okay? So he vetoed the anti-trans sports bill. And the base, I guess you could say, was angry with him about it. And like these LGBT crazy groups cheered him for it, and that was kind of interesting, like, you know, how that kind of all came about. That was years ago, and the question is, why did he do that? This was years before he had any national notoriety. Why did he veto that bill? I mean, it kind of echoes Kristi Noem, right? You know, Kristi Noem doing that whole thing. So that is what people are going to attack Burgum on, People are also going to say Burgum is friends with Bill Gates. Now, Doug Burgum sold his company for $1 billion to Microsoft a time ago. And some people say that, okay, he's a small state governor. And because of that, you know, he'd have a hard time with the limelight. But then on the flip side of that, he was, you know, $1 billion tech CEO. So I think he'd be a little bit better in the national spotlight. A lot of people don't know where he is or where he came from. And some of his like past remarks are, you know, kind of being dug up in real time. So we don't know. But when it comes to energy, one of the main things that Trump talks about as the priority for the country, he has pretty good positions on it. Frankie, roll this.
I have to jump in because we're missing the point and every other network is missing the point. The reason why people are striking in Detroit is because Joe Biden's interference with capital markets and with free markets. The subsidies, we're subsidizing the automakers and we're subsidizing the cars and a particular kind of car, not every car. We're subsidizing electric vehicles. And when you decide that we're going to take all of your taxpayer monies, take $1 billion, subsidize a certain type of vehicle, and the batteries come from China. China controls 85% of the rare earth minerals. They're called rare earth because they're measured in parts per million. China is moving 100,000 pounds of earth in Indonesia, in Africa. They're literally destroying the planet so that they can make a battery that's in a car subsidized here. That's why they're striking, because
the guy is an expert on energy. And energy, according to Trump, I mean, Trump has said it repeatedly. When they ask him about inflation, he invokes the energy policies of Biden. So I think he is the front runner. Now, a lot of people in the chat right now, and we're going long here, but it's important because this is a big, big day. It could be tomorrow that the VP pick is made. Are talking about Byron Donalds. Now, again, if you asked Mike Crispy and producer Frankie who our pick was a couple weeks ago in the original vetting pack I was sent out, we would have probably said Byron Donalds. That's who we both said, Byron Donalds. But it seems like he's not in the running. We're just giving you the facts. Now, there's one candidate that a lot of people, again, with my very scientific poll I did on X, a lot of people were saying Ben Carson. As a matter of fact, our friend Brandon Dealey commented Ben Carson. It got over 1,000 likes from the poll that had 4,000 respondents. So Ben Carson, a lot of people want him, but apparently he's not one of the three. Now, this is Ben Carson from last night. Is he still in the running? I mean, I think so, but he might have fallen off. Let's see what he said.
There are a lot of people on the Republican side who would make wonderful vice presidents. You need to have somebody who thinks out of the box, who's original in the way that they do things, and someone who is very supportive of the policies of the president. And the other side doesn't have that, obviously. Yeah. And they don't have very many choices. And it's much more important on that side because Biden is very old. Physiologically, he's a lot older than 81. Physiologically, Trump is a lot younger than 78. So there's much greater chance that something will happen to Biden and that they don't have.
So Ben Carson giving that take, and Ben Carson says he is not in any conversations about being VP. So listen, producer Frankie, you guys know, we've had a lot of fun in the last couple weeks because Frankie, who is extremely MAGA and America First, who's really never taken a position as hardened, okay, as his anti-Ben Carson position. Frankie, that could have been the last clip we'll hear of Ben Carson because I don't think he's going to be the VP. So, producer Frankie, we have this for you. Ben Carson. Producer Frankie, everybody. And his running feud.
The chat's going to love me after
this. Dr. Ben Carson. Ben Carson was well liked by everybody, except for producer Frankie. He came at him really hard. Called him a fake doctor when he was announced to be in contention. Shaq got really mad at Frankie. Frankie almost resigned as the producer of the show. But he stuck with us. The chat forgave him. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be the VP. I don't dislike him as much as Frankie does. I think he was a real doctor. I think he'll still be in the next Trump cabinet. But Frankie, it's okay, pal. He's not going to be the VP. So you can keep producing the show.
Thank you.
And let bygones be bygones.
I feel like I got to donate to a charity puppies right now. Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with so much more. Do not go anywhere.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, my goodness. All right. All right. Okay. All right. People in the chat saying, Frankie, he's a real doctor. Listen, he is a real, like, he's a real, listen,
I was Mike messing around. A real doctor, okay? All right. All right.
Producer Frankie is hard in stance against him. So, all right, guys. I'm glad you can all appreciate the comedy. Chat's cracking up. Chat loves it. All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank you guys for a big show today. The chat loves. Everyone's like, Frankie, please don't go. Don't quit. If Ben Carson gets picked, don't right, go, Frankie.
We got
to
back up. All right,
I want to tell you guys about the. Want to tell you guys about the sponsors of the show. And the first sponsor of our show today are our friends and over at iTarget Pro. Guys, head over to iTargetPro.com right now. It is the laser firearm home training system that you need right now. That is because ammo right now is at an all-time high in cost. The supply chain is being manipulated, and as the election draws near, they are going to stifle the supply of ammo. It's going to be harder to get. It's going to be artificially inflated in cost. That's because they don't want you to be able to protect yourself and exercise your Second Amendment, so they manipulate the price of ammo. Guys, you know you can save your precious ammo by getting an iTarget Pro and training with your laser firearm home training system in your home. The iTarget Pro is a laser bullet that's loaded into the chamber. It dry fires into the target. It syncs up with the app, okay? And it's so easy to use. Guys, my father uses it. He's a former air marshal, one of the greatest sharpshooters of our time, and he trains with it every single day, and that is how he stays sharp. So, guys, if you stay sharp too, you will want to have an iTarget Pro. Head on over to iTargetPro.com and get in touch with them today. Wonderful. Amazing. Okay.
Let's go.
All right. I see right here in the chat, somebody says, Jeremy at Rise Up got some beef with Crispy. What did I do now? What did I do now? Where is the beef? Holy crap. What did I do? Jeremy! I got beef? Oh my goodness. What is going on here? What could it be? Frankie, why is Jeremy mad at me?
I will find out. Oh, I love this. This is great. The chat's just making me die today.
What did I do? Can I get some explanation here? Oh, my goodness. Guys, what's going on? Jeremy says no beef. Wait, hey, chat, why are you saying that Jeremy and I have beef?
That's fake news.
Okay, don't get me scared. Fake news, okay? I'm looking here, just a fellow brother in Christ. I knew the chat would get it wrong. Okay, all right, something. Jeremy, come on, don't scare me, man. Okay, I'm trying to make a nice show, do my reporting, and save America. Okay, I mean, nothing else. Slava Frankie, there you go. Chats.
Hold on. Throwback.
All right.
Shout out to everyone who heard my snoring, now by word, the way. I did notice that, I see you.
Now word from our next sponsor, and our next sponsor of the broadcast is... it is a cheap fake. Anybody saying that we have beef, Jeremy and I have no beef with Jeremy. So guys, the next sponsor of our show is Done With Debt. Listen, everybody, they're called debt traps. And if you don't get out from under them right now, the debt trap will consume you and your family whole. Listen, here's the deal, guys. It's not your fault. You didn't have the credit card companies jack up the interest rates. You didn't create this rampant inflation. You are not to blame for many of these problems. There are millions of Americans right now who are experiencing the same issues, okay, that you are experiencing as well. So you're not alone in this. And if you're dealing with debt problems right now, you got to call our friends on over at Done With Debt. They are the debt relief specialists, okay? They are the debt relief specialists that have a specialty when it comes to helping great patriots like you in reducing your debt and getting you out from under these tough times, okay? So if you have a problem, get in touch with them right now. The first thing they do is they stand between you and your bill collectors like a shield, like a force field, like a bodyguard. And then they work with you in consultative fashion, okay, to get on the path to financial solvency, okay? So guys, donewithdebt.com is the website. Get in touch with them right now and they will help you out. That is donewithdebt.com right now, helping you out, and you will not regret it. Tell them LFA TV sent you. Okay. All right. Everyone's talking about, you know, everyone loves a little gossip, right? Everyone loves a little gossip. We had one little gossip queen here who said that Jeremy and I were beefing. The answer to that is no. And then everybody's going crazy. Everyone loves a little gossip, okay? So, you know, I got to wait until after Jeremy's off the air to, you know, okay. All right, remember, this is my employment here. So, all right, we love the chat. We appreciate everybody here.
LFA producer.
We got people saying
they're
going to go buy some beef. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Eli. Thank you very much. Gotcha, Jay. Great to see you. Fireboss, Mary Alm, TD Hodges, Billy Cly, CQ. All right. Let's get back into it, Frankie.
We're getting back into it. And I see this log. Log talking to me saying, oh, you lifting weights? You look so jacked. Hey, log, last week you called me a skinny little bitch. So which is it? Let me know. On in.
All right.
On in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. Now, we get a lot of fan mail from our fans, and Log23 has invited Frankie to a pizza party, and Frankie has accepted that offer. Breaking news into the show from our mailbag of fans, okay? So, just because he said that it looks like Frankie had hit the gym. So, Log, your dream is going to become true. Get in touch with producer Frankie. If you can find his email address, then you can schedule a pizza party with him. But the caveat is you have to find his email address. Okay, there you go. Right. So, all right, guys. Obviously, you know right now that there is the debate tomorrow. And ahead of the debate, Joe Biden is doing, I guess, things that you think would be the absolute opposite of winning over independent voters. I don't know how else to square it. The day after the debate, Joe Biden has announced that he's not going to be making a campaign stop in Michigan or Wisconsin. No, he's going to be going to an LGBTQ gala, okay, in New York City. That is what he is going to be doing. Drag queens and prominent members of the pedophile community, okay, are going to be joining this LGBTQ group. And you know what the funny thing is, Frankie? I always say, why did the LGBTQ groups lump themselves in with the pedophiles? Why do they like willingly do that? It's kind of interesting. Like, you know, if you talk about pedophiles, then people get mad and say, oh, you're coming at the LGBT. Why do the Democrat Party insist on lumping those two together? Interesting. So Biden's going to be doing that the day after the debate. That's what he's doing. Not trying to win over voters or talk about how his message at the debate resonated with those swing voters. No, he's doing that. And the day before the debate, this is what he rolled out policy-wise. Biden expected to pardon military veterans convicted under the military law banning gay sex, officials say. So listen, I'm not familiar with the military law that banned gay sex, but if there is a military law that banned gay sex, and Biden made his prerogative 24 hours before the debate to pardon these people, and I guess talk about it as a win on the debate stage, I continue to ask the question, what swing voters are Biden trying to make an appeal towards? Doesn't seem like that's on the minds of people who can't feed their families and people who are worried about their kids being drafted into foreign wars and kids who are worried about, you know, their jobs being taken by illegals and worse than that, illegals overrunning their communities, overtaking their schools, the quality of education going down, crime running rampant in the streets. No, Biden says ahead of the debate, I am going to pardon the military vets convicted under the law banning gay sex. That is what I am going to do, says Biden. It seems like the Democrat Party isn't interested in winning over swing voters. And it's interesting how whenever there are local elections at the state level, people always use those election results whenever like a Trump candidate doesn't win for whatever reason as a bellwether. They always use the term a bellwether for why the Trump base is fading. It's what these people always say. Now, here's what I have to say about that. There were several elections last night, which you could say, if by the Democrat standard, there's a bellwether of why MAGA is winning and left-wing extremism is losing. Now, this was a result last night in the state of Colorado. Our very own Lauren Boebert was not up for re-election, but she had switched districts. She had actually switched Colorado districts totally across the state, okay, running in an open primary in which Ken Buck had retired. And these were the results of it. Now, people were coming for Lauren Boebert. They did not want Lauren Boebert in there. You could say moderate, quote-unquote, Republicans were running against her in the seat. These are the results, Raul Frankie.
Just a minute ago, NBC characterized this race and declared that Lauren Boebert, who moved from the 3rd congressional district in Colorado, where she had a very big scare in 2022, to the 4th congressional district on the eastern side of the state, opened a seat here. Boebert has won that Republican primary. Colorado is a state that's basically all mail-in voting. So, look, 85% of the vote counted. That's within about 20 minutes of the polls closing in Colorado, and it's an emphatic victory for Lauren Boebert, obviously, who benefited from very divided opposition. Her opponents did not coalesce, did not unite behind a single alternative. 44% of the vote amounts to a landslide for Boebert in Colorado 4. Alex.
All right, so I got to tell you, Lauren Boebert winning that primary, 44% in like a six-way primary is really good. So the mandate on Colorado and the primary voters in what you would call a more purpley district is that they want MAGA. Now, people will talk about how Pastor Mark Burns lost in South Carolina last night in a runoff election. And do you know that they spent, the establishment Republicans, zeroed in and spent $10 million to prevent this guy, okay, from being the pick. And he had some, you could call it, baggage with him. Okay, he had some baggage with him. Now, I don't know if Mark Burns he officially lost now, they're saying. So I don't know Pastor Mark Burns personally, but he had more baggage than, let's say, a Mike Crispy running for the seat. So they dumped it on him, $10 million. You combine the money with a little bit of baggage. And all that being said, he still only lost the race by 1 point. They're like, oh, Trump's influence is waning. But it's the people that say they like Trump on the surface that spend the $10 million and exploit the baggage of a guy like Pastor Mark Burns, who, although was a loyal, staunch Trump ally, they had things to attack him on. They attacked him on it. And they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars that, by the way, could have went to help somebody in a purple swing district in a general, let's say. But they spend it on that. It's more of the McCarthy games. So I wouldn't take that and hold it against Trump in that particular instance. Now, Jamil Bowman was also up for re-election last night. He is the squad member that famously pulled the fire alarm. He is the squad member that famously yelled in Thomas Massie's face about knowing about gun violence. Remember that whole mental breakdown that he had? That's when the public first kind of learned about Jamil Bowman. Now, Jamil Bowman represents, I guess you could call it Westchester Up, okay? Like that area of New York City, right above it. And that area is not a radical extremist, okay, section of New York. I know the area very well. I've done business in White Plains and like in that area. So like I know that area. Now, AOC, and I guess part of the Bronx is in that area. So they had kind of this crossover rally, the famous crossover rally that will live in infamy as one of the saddest displays of congressional primarying we've ever seen. And this guy Latimer, who ran against Bowman, was probably laughing hysterical and smiling ear to ear, saying, wow, these people are doing this whole rally, doing all this work. This is literally helping my campaign. I couldn't imagine he was thinking anything but that as he was watching it unfold. Remember, this Latimer guy is not a good guy. He's not like a bygones be bygones moderate. He's a Hillary Clinton guy. Soon as he won, he's talking about taking down MAGA extremists. Okay, we know what that means. So not a good guy by any stretch. Bowman was like this radical leftist squad guy. Let this moment live in infamy as the worst of the worst. We just got to roll it one more time because we'll never be able to do it again. Roll, Frankie. The hair, look at that, look at this, look at this. Okay, all right. So I got breaking news into the show, guys. I got breaking news into the show. Unbelievable. Cardi B rap style concert political rally doesn't play well with swing voters living in the suburbs in Westchester. Color me shocked. Wow. Didn't work. Oh. And they elected Jamil Bowman again because he won the Democrat primary because he galvanized like a percentage of supporters. But then when like a lot of these issues were on full display, you know, such as like, you know, the rampant anti-Semitism and, you know, supporting like Hamas radicals, when these things were on display and the mental behavior of Bowman pulling the fire alarm, yelling at Massey in the hallway, being a thug, okay, not a real member of Congress. So Jamil Bowman wants to be like this like tough guy thug, and AOC wants to be like this, you know, bad bitch Cardi B backup dancer thing. Okay. I'm just saying that's just like what she's trying to invoke. Like, just newsflash, that doesn't play well with the electorate. Now, I was rooting, I know this is going to be controversial. I was almost rooting for Bowman. You know why? Because I want the Democrat Party to continue to make asses out of themselves so we can pound them into oblivion. If Bowman won his primary, I think that Republicans could have maybe made a play in that general. Because all it would have taken is a Republican to say, listen, like, I don't stand with Hamas radicals. I don't stand with this nonsense. This is insanity. Vote for me. And then there would have been a chance, maybe. But this guy Latimer won, and he's a Hillary Clinton crony, okay? So it's like six half dozen, one the other. He's still going to vote to fund the war. He's still going to vote to fund Hamas. He just has like a more of like a, you know, like more of a moderate look to him. But at the end of the day, he's still a left-wing radical. You have to be to call our wing of the party MAGA extremists. But again, RIP Jamil Bowman. Again, I'm happy that he lost still. This is him going down in infamy. Newsflash, people don't like this. Roll, Frankie. Why is he doing that with the steward? What's he doing? Okay. Mentally sane. Okay. Very inspiring. Ah, the chant from his own name. Okay, so think about this. If Abraham Lincoln were alive today and he just got done giving the Gettysburg Address, and then they said, oh, Mr. President, this is a guy running for Congress in Westchester, New York, and he looked at Bowman chanting, leading a chant of his own name and saying, we're going to show them who the mother blank we are, picking up and pounding the stool down and kind of being followed by AOC, okay, with her Cardi B dance. I think these people would be rolling in their graves. Now, the Bronx rally drew all but a crowd of 165 people. That was the scene. You tell me, again, I said that if Bowman won, maybe a Republican could have made a play in the Bronx. And I say that with hard evidence. Trump's crowd in the Bronx was so, by 100x, more impressive than the display of 150 Hamas radicals who came out. Little throwback here. This is where the Bronx is going. Roll it, Frankie. That's what a crowd looks like in the Bronx. So if the AOC progressive wing was so strong and so real, they would have got a crowd like that. But of course, they didn't. And then the best part about all this is that in Jamal Bowman's concession speech last night, this is real. Okay, so this is Jamal Bowman loses. People see that he's a mentally unhinged whack job time and time again. And then he ends his political career in his concession speech by going out the way that he was always known, as a mentally unhinged whack job, getting mad at his teleprompter operator. This is real. Roll, Frankie.
Okay. Number one. It's coming. Why are you messing up?
What is this?
Why are you messing up?
Where did it go?
Damn, I'm in the zone up here. Before I get to that.
Oh, man, this guy Bowman is giving his concession speech, and he literally is so mentally unhinged that he goes, why are you messing up, to his teleprompter operator? It's like, buddy, improvise, adapt, overcome, little life advice for you. You think whenever Trump's teleprompter gets messed up, he makes a joke and he goes, I don't need these prompters. Oh, you know, isn't it more fun? Bowman has a mental breakdown. Yes, Frankie.
The craziest thing for me, Mike, is I remember during that, like, the gun legislation when he was, like, attacking senators and congressmen. Isn't he a former educator? Like, wasn't he a teacher? Imagine this man teaching your children. I mean, he's unhinged psychopath. Like, that's the craziest thing to me. He was a teacher? Yeah. What? Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Are you sure? Yeah, was he not exactly. a correctional officer?
He says, yeah. It is such a joke. It is funny. Everyone's like, oh, Donald Trump's crazy. Donald Trump's unhinged. People see Mike Crispy in New Jersey. Michael Crispy's crazy. Mike Crispy's unhinged. But it's like, have you ever seen any one of us at a rally jump up and down and scream and pick up stools and props and throw them around and yell at people? Nope. We are passionate about our country. There's a difference between being passionate about the country and being a psychopathic whack job. Newsflash, it doesn't play well in elections still, and it never will. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with so much more. Do not go anywhere.
I was on a roll.
Are you mom? That was Bowman, okay? Amazing. All right, guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Hilarious. Thank you guys for watching. I appreciate all of you very much. And I want to tell you guys about our next sponsor of this broadcast. And our next sponsor of this broadcast are our friends on over at Genesis Gold Group. Guys, head on over to Genesis Gold Group. It's a website that is goldwithcrispy.com right now. Goldwithcrispy.com right now. Listen, they have something really, really cool right now. If you go to the website and sign up, you can get it right now. But it's called a Prepper Bar. Now, Prepper Bar is allowing you to own a store of value of gold and silver in a tangible way that you could hold in your hand, fit in your wallet, and it breaks into pieces kind of like a chocolate bar. You see like the little pieces right there. So everyone is always saying to me, Mike, you know, the gold and the silver, it's so expensive, and there's all these big pieces and like these giant bars and all that. This is your ability to own a piece of an investment, okay, physically in your hand that you can buy today. It is called a Prepper Bar, okay? And if you go to goldwithcrispy.com and get in touch with our friends at Genesis Gold Group, you can go get one today. Again, comes in all different things, starting at a very low price to whatever you want, and it is physical gold and silver delivered to your doorstep, and you will deal with great people, faith-based people, and helping get you and your family on an investment track that is good for your particular situation. Now, you guys know Genesis Gold Group is the gold company of our great friend, Mike Lindell. So you know they have been totally vetted, faith-based patriots. Get in touch with them right now. Goldwithcrispy.com. That is goldwithcrispy.com. Genesis Gold Group. Get in touch with them today. Go get those Prepper Bars. One day I'll bring it into the studio. They sent me a nice one, silver, and you guys should go get it too. It is amazing. And they're so transparent. Their fees are transparent. Everything's transparent. They are great folks. All right. Now word from our next sponsor, and our next sponsor of the broadcast is, who's next, Frankie?
It's up to you, pal. You run this thing.
Our next sponsor is MyPillow. Guys, head over to MyPillow.com right now and use promo code UNAFRAID. Okay, that is promo code UNAFRAID for up to 82% off your order. Guys, it's summertime, and the great Mike Lindell has amazing summer sales offered to you right now in absolute record fashion. You guys know he passes the savings along to you. You guys know Mike Lindell only has the best quality. So if you go to MyPillow.com right now and use that promo code UNAFRAID, you will save up to 82% off your order, and you will not be sorry. Guys, go get the new towels, especially this time. It's beach time, beach weather. Go get it, and you will not, do not chew the Prepper Bar.
Dying at that comment.
Do not be paying for towels and sheets and pillows from companies that hate you. Go to MyPillow.com. Support the great Mike Lindell. Let's go. Okay. All right. Let's see what else we got here in the live chat. We got Alex Ann says, Mike, take a few hours tonight and watch the Subway Series, Yankees versus Mets. I was at the game last night. I was at the game. Funny you say that. I was at the game last night, Yankees-Mets. It was a great game. I'm a Yankees fan, so is producer Frankie. The game was at Citi Field in Queens. So I was at the game last night. It was a great game. Yankees were down big, and then they made a big comeback, but could not hold on.
Yeah.
But, you Thanks, know, Judge, I had a cheat meal on my healthy diet, and they got a lot of good food at Citi Field. You know, they got a lot of good food. I had, you know, like this burger with lobster on it, you know, pretty amazing.
What?
And a little bit of ice cream. You guys know I never do that because I'm a lean, mean, globalist fighting machine. No, it was really good.
Was it a burger lobster it was a burger with lobster?
No, it was a burger with lobster, like this lobster sauce, and then lobster meat on it. It was unbelievable. I like that. It was like crazy. Ooh. So, you know, it was really good. So Sabrina would appreciate it. So she's our food expert here in the studio. So guys, somebody says, enjoying this beautiful podcast with amazing men and the beautiful sun. Regina, I love your positivity today. You're watching this beautiful, I do like, if you have any adjective to describe this podcast, how about this, drop an adjective. Regina says this podcast is beautiful. I like that word. Drop a comment below on the adjective, the one single word adjective that best describes this podcast, sans producer Frankie's assailment of Ben Carson. Okay, put that aside for a minute. And then give me the one word that describes your feelings about the podcast. Okay?
I love that. Right.
About that, okay? Little people say that's the ultimate surf and turf. Yes, very cool. So Forever 45 again says Rubio and Vance, Beltway Insiders, no way. Okay, listen, we'll see what happens. It could become as early as tomorrow. We're going to have Roger on tomorrow to talk about it and so much more, debate day. All right, let's get back into it, Frankie.
Getting back into it in 5, 4, 3, 2,
and welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. Now, I continue to give you updates on the real polls that are going on right now. There was a fake news narrative, and it always comes, Frankie, the fake news always comes from the people who are perceived as our friends. The Fox News poll. Trump, post-conviction is down in the polls. I said this is a statistical outlier, because how can President Trump be down in rural voters? That doesn't make any sense. How can everyday Americans hear what the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says about inflation and not be looking for an alternative right now in desperate fashion? They're not going to go, oh, he's so orange and he's so mean. No, people don't think that anymore, especially when their wallets right now are being ripped away from them and their value of their dollars being shredded. Listen to Janet Yellen give a very real and accurate antidote of her going to the grocery store. Listen closely here. Roll, Frankie.
Secretary Yellen, have you been to the grocery store lately?
I sure have. I go every week.
It's sticker shock, isn't it? No. I just, when you look at shipping costs, those have come down.
Did you hear that?
Global food commodity prices have also
come
down.
We may have to replay.
But food prices still remain high.
All right. Replay that, Frankie. Replay it and listen to her say no. Like, she quickly puts in no. Like, in this very faint, pathetic way. Roll,
Frankie. Secretary Yellen, have you been to the grocery store lately?
I sure have. I go every week.
It's sticker shock, isn't it?
No.
I just, when you look at...
Did you hear it?
Yeah. Wow. No. I don't see the prices. I just buy.
No. Hey. So you're going to the grocery store. Yeah, Janet Yellen's totally going and shopping for her own groceries. That's about as believable as that I'm leaving, you know, this network. I'm getting fired by Jeremy. I'm going to get employed by tomorrow, though, by the Boston Celtics to be their starting center next year. Yeah, that's the, like, it's like, just like, it's silly. Yeah, Janet Yellen shops for the groceries. Oh, it's sticker shock, isn't it? Nope.
It's like a joke.
So, guys, they're not even trying. It's like, it's pathetic. She's feeble. She's weak. And they said these are the adults being back in charge. This is the reality of what's going on. Puts on screen, Frankie. Trump gets massive poll boost after his hush money trial conviction. The 5% boost came in the same poll conducted pre and post jury verdict. Sentencing is July 11th and expected to cause another polling boost for President Trump. So any type of poll that is the same poll based on the same metrics and results, Trump is only going up and surging right now. And people are saying, again, post-conviction there, as they say, that if Trump gets put in jail, he's only going to continue to go up. Now, again, this isn't some Fox News poll that sprouted out of the ether that had very questionable crosstabs underneath that were, you know, putting up that weird number. This is the same poll, okay? And people were saying that if Trump is convicted, it will only cause them to vote for him more so often. So I'm telling you guys, stick to the plan here. Stick to supporting President Trump. They're trying to create a false narrative, just like they did with Arizona in the 2020 election, and try to get people to go, well, oh, you know, Fox News said it. No, it's nonsense. He's only going up and will continue to do so. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Do not go anywhere.
Roland.
Ooh, look at that camera angle. Very cool. All right, guys, I want to tell you all about the next sponsors of our show today. And the next sponsor of our show are our good friends on over at the LFATV.us website. Guys, go to LFATV.us right now and go consider becoming a monthly donor, okay? LFATV is what keeps this just community, this family of patriots informed with all of the real and accurate information in the face of the fake news, okay? So we're going to be broadcasting the debate. We're going to continue to be broadcasting events as election season ramps up. So guys, do me all a favor right now, and if you have the means, become a monthly donor of LFATV, okay? You guys spend a lot of money on a lot of things, but the free flowing of truthful information, it's important. If you have subscriptions to Netflix or whatever, or your cable company, a couple of bucks a month goes such a long way to supporting what we do. Thank you all very much for that. And now a word from our next sponsor, and they are our friends at Armora Colostrum. You guys know that I'm always on the lookout for ways to strengthen my immunity, gut health, improve my fitness and metabolism, and enhance my skin and hair radiance. I mean, come on, look at me. Skin and hair radiance? Absolutely. Okay, guys, Armor Colostrum is the solution. It is a supplement of proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 living bioactive nutrients that strengthen the barriers of your body and fuels cellular health. Here's what it does. It reactivates hair growth and grow and has glowing skin. You will have as a result. It fortifies your gut health and ignites your metabolism. And it fuels your fitness, performance, and recovery. It is a natural supplement, okay, that we have worked out a special deal for that we want you to try so you can feel your best. Guys, just go to tryarmor.com/LFATV. That is TryArmra.com/LFATV. And use promo code LFATV and you will get 15% off your order today. That is Armor Colostrum. Go try it. You will feel phenomenal. Let's go, Frankie. Let's go, Frankie. Let's see. That's some yank. That's from being at the game last night. Let's see. One word for Mike Crispy. Here are the words. Base. That says Kelly T. Robbie Sunshine says superlative. I don't know if you did that exercise properly, Robbie, but that's okay. Superlative. Like we need to be identified with the superlative. I don't know if superlative is a superlative. Debbie March says amazing. We love that. Okay. Guys, keep them coming in. Keep them coming in. We got Regina. We got Hazel Kitty. We got Veronica. We got a great audience today. Vintage Lula, as always. We appreciate you supporting us from Jersey. We're very appreciative. Veronica says friendly. We are friendly. Don't you think friendly? We're friendly.
I'll say very superlative. Friendly. You know, that's basically, you know, he's basically saying, you know, we're like the highest attainable level. You know what I'm saying? I get it. I got you, bro. I gotcha.
Iron Carr says energetic. Vintage Lulagal says charismatic. Karen Exley says energetic. Come up with some original content there, Karen. Kidding. We love you. We have Carrie T from New Jersey. We love that. New Jersey in the house. Great to see you. We love our New Jersey people. So, all right, Frankie, let's roll right back into it.
Rolling on in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. Now, we've continued to highlight and cover the fact that the Biden regime is planning for illegal migrants, criminals, to be able to vote in this election. They'd be giving them Social Security card lookalikes, aka ID cards, that have very strange numbers on them that are eerily reminiscent to Social Security numbers. And who's telling them to vote? Who's even teaching them how to vote? Who's even telling them that we have elections? I mean, these people apparently come from the jungles and they're fleeing asylum, but they're good enough to go to the voting registration places and vote. It is very concerning. Now, America First Legal sent this note to all 50 states. Biden is giving registration forms and Social Security numbers to illegals. Okay, we continue to talk about this. America First Legal is sending an urgent action plan to officials in all 50 states on how to stop illegals and non-citizens from voting. Okay, now, America First Legal, led by Stephen Miller, they do a very good job, but every single leader in state government needs to act now on this. You guys know that state government is hyper local. You elect assemblymen and state representatives, as they're called, state senators, and those are the people that control election law in your state. You guys know that during COVID, the illegal original sin, if you will, was that governors unilaterally changed election law to do mass mail-in ballots, which is illegal because in our Constitution, only a state legislative body can change election law in the state. So it is upon the state legislatures in the 50 states, especially in the swing states, to act now and take America First Legal's action plan to do something about it. So I don't necessarily always do like these call to actions appealing to the audience. I know you guys are really busy people and, you know, it's a lot. The world is crazy and, you know, we're all fighting and all this and stuff like that and just trying to keep your head above water. But if you have ever called your local officials, call them today and tell them America First Legal plans to stop illegals from voting. What are you doing to implement that plan? We need to be too big to rig. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we should look the other way and not absolutely dig our heels in and fight when it comes to allowing illegals to vote. Thank God it's the last time with the mass mail-in scam. The evidence was abundant and through the roof. Their cover-up was shameless and pathetic, putting up the poster boards and the oak tags, the mail-in ballots being bussed in the middle of the night, unfolded ballots, nice, beautiful, okay? They weren't mail-ins. It was such a scam. We got to be ahead of the eight ball this time. We got 5 months. It's go time. I know the RNC is doing a lot right now. I know Laura Trump is leading an army of people who are going to be dug in on election integrity this time around. But you can all do your part. Here is one small call to action. Because at the end of the day, guys, we do this for one reason. You guys know it. We are all in to elect President Trump. That is why we do what we do. All right. You guys know what we do in this program. Obviously, we keep it America First. We keep it bold. We always keep it unafraid. And you better believe we are just getting started. It's about all the time that we have today. We'll see you back live tomorrow.